It says the spirit saw Jesus and immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this?
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in for another edition with Senior Pastor Mark Job, author and lead pastor at New Life Community Church here in Chicago. My name is Joshua Hollick, and today I'm here with Pastor Mark, and we're excited about what God's doing in the city. There are so many great churches. One of the greatest things Jesus did for the world was to build his church where people can come to know him. And you may not be a part of a church yet. And so, Pastor Mark, what would you say to somebody who says, I love Jesus, but I don't think church is all that important?
Yeah, and I have that conversation often with people. And it's like saying, I believe my family's important, but I don't want to hang out with them. And so Jesus Christ called us to be a follower of his, but to do it in the context of community. And I realize that you can listen to a message like this on the radio, or you can turn on your television or download a podcast, but it's different. Yeah. You need to be connected with a community of faith. New Life is one of those options. There's some great pastors and churches in and around the city of Chicago that I pray with, bless, and would highly recommend in those areas. So find a church that teaches the Word of God unashamedly, that it believes in the deity of Jesus Christ and salvation through His name, that clearly presents the gospel. New Life is one of those churches that's been expanding throughout Chicago. So, Joshua, as you mentioned, we're multi-location. We meet in communities like Little Village, which are primarily Mexican community, but we also meet in places like Lincoln Park or Lakeview that are more young professionals. We meet all the way as north as Rogers Park, all the way as south as Oak Forest, all the way west as Melrose or Montclair, all the way east as in Bridgeport. And so if you want to find one of our New Life locations, you can go to our website and click on locations, and you'll probably find something that's at least fairly close to where you live if you live in the Chicagoland area.
So, friends, our encouragement is find a good, healthy church to be a part of, and if you don't have one and you're looking for one and you've been blessed by the ministry of Straight Talk, check out newlifechicago.org and come give us a visit. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to hear your story. And we believe that Christianity is meant to be lived with other Christians in the world being a light. So come on out and check it out.
Thanks, Josh. Good evening, everyone. We continue with Pastor Mark's series called Jesus Up Close tonight as we continue with the second half of his message called Believing Enough to Change. The text for this evening will be in Mark chapter 9. We'll be in verses 14 through 29. Here's Pastor Mark's message called Believing Enough to Change.
Maybe you feel that way today, that your case is so bad, that your husband is so bad, your wife or your marriage or your children or your neighbor or your situation is so bad that you have very little faith. And Jesus said to his disciples, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring me the boy. You see the frustration in Jesus a little bit? Come on. How long am I going to have to be with you before you really start believing that I have power to do anything? Bring me the boy. I think sometimes God looks at his church and says, come on. Church, how long, how many miracles do you have to see? How many changed lives do you have to experience? How many people getting baptized do you have to see? How many lost causes do you have to see come and turn around before you start believing that I can do anything? Come on, people of God. Where's your faith? When Jesus says, bring me the boy. So they brought him. Oh, I love this. It says in verse 20, when the Spirit saw Jesus. You know, there's a true, real spiritual world out there, not just the Holy Spirit, but there's other spirits. The Bible calls them unclean spirits. There is a spiritual warfare out there. Oh, you may not be aware of it, but unless you begin to understand that there is a spiritual warfare, you will not fight a war that you do not know exists. The Bible tells us that you are composed of body, soul, and spirit. Oftentimes we fight in the body and the soul, but we forget that there's a spiritual battle out there as well. You have a spirit. You were born with a spirit. The moment that you were conceived, even within your mother's womb, there's a spirit. How do I know that? The Bible says that John the Baptizer jumped in his mother's womb because he was filled with the Spirit. So even as an unborn baby, his spirit was reacting. When you are born, you have a spirit. Your spirit is that part of you that relates to God, the unseen world, the spiritual world. Those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Your spirit is influenced by the spirit world. There is the Holy Spirit, which is the presence and essence of God. When Jesus ascended into heaven, He said, I must send my spirit. I must go away so that the comforter, the paraclete, the counselor can come and help you out. And it's His Holy Spirit that the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, bow your knee and invite Him to be Lord of your life. It's the Holy Spirit that comes into your life and body and revives your spirit. So now the Holy Spirit is influencing your spirit. Are you tracking with me? Some people don't understand that there's a difference between your spirit and the Holy Spirit. Your spirit is influenced by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches you, enlightens you, convicts you, reveals the Word of God to you. The Holy Spirit testifies to your spirit that you're a child of God and makes you want to worship God. When you sin, the Holy Spirit convicts your spirit about your sin. There's things that you don't even know are wrong, but inside you feel it's wrong because the Holy Spirit is telling you this is wrong. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you power to live for God. You cannot live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. However, there is also a dark spirit world out there. And just as strong as the Holy Spirit tries to influence you, the dark world also tries to oppress, possess, distort, confuse, bring you down, tempt you, cause you to doubt. Now, it doesn't always manifest clearly, but it is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy all that God is trying to do in your life. There is a spiritual battle that wages for the life of every individual, and we need to open up our eyes and realize there is a spiritual battle. Every time we have a service like this, I understand that there's a spiritual battle happening. Why? Because more often than not, I am calling people to get right with God. I am challenging people to give their life to Jesus. And I know and understand that the enemy does not want you to give your life to God. He wants to keep you bound. He wants to keep you oppressed. He wants to keep you robbed of all the destiny that God has for you. There's a battle that happens. And Jesus, in speaking to this boy, it says when they brought the boy to Jesus, the spirit, what spirit? The spirit that was oppressing this boy. It says the spirit saw Jesus and immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? Father said, from childhood. It has often thrown him into the fire, the water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help him. You see, I'm convinced that there is a force out there, or forces out there. There are some things that are done that are so dark, so devious, so inhumane, that it can only be the darkness of the man's human heart aggravated by a spiritual darkness. The enemy's job from the beginning with Adam and Eve was to steal them of what God tried to give them. God gave them freedom. God gave them a garden. God gave them beauty. God gave them harmony. The serpent came in and tried to steal what God had given them. Tried to steal their destiny, their relationship with God. Tried to steal the paradise that God had created for them. Once in a while I run into people and they say, if God is real, how come God lets injustice happen in this world? How come God lets violence occur? How come there's murder and rape and bigotry? How can God allow this? Let me tell you, God did not create us that way. God created us for paradise. It was our decisions to not live God's way that opened up a whole kingdom of darkness. And now there's two kingdoms at war. It's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, fighting, battling for dominion. The kingdom of God, Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. The way that you enter the kingdom of God is by coming under the lordship of the king. And when you give your life to God and come under his lordship, then you become part of the kingdom of light. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. We are all born physically into this world, but it requires a second birth, a spiritual birth, to enter into the kingdom of God. Once you enter into the kingdom of light, you are snatched out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and suddenly your life begins to change because you're under a different rulership and you clash with the kingdom of darkness. The light clashes with darkness. The authority of God clashes with the authority of the enemy. And there is a battle that wages for the destiny of people's lives. How is the kingdom of God propagated? How does it spread throughout the earth? It spreads through people that come under the lordship of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And it clusters together in life-giving communities of faith called the church. There is no army. There are no tanks. There are no physical weapons. It is a group of people under the lordship of Jesus Christ, filled with the most potent, powerful force in the universe, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Believing Enough to Change, which is from our current series called Jesus Up Close. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Believing Enough to Change.
Number 3, the battle to believe will determine how much you change and recover from robbery. Verse 23, listen to Jesus, if you can. If you can? Are you asking me, the Messiah, the Son of God, if I can? Then Jesus looks him straight in the eyes and he says to this man who's been struggling with a child who's been robbed of his destiny, everything is possible for him who believes. You see what Jesus was saying? He was saying, I'm not limited in my power. I can. But it's not about whether I can. It's whether about you, if you are willing to believe. I can. I have power. I have might. It's not about if I can, it's about can you believe? Are you willing to believe? And he says all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy's father said a statement that I think most of us can relate to, because the father said, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Can you relate to that statement? Oh, I believe, but help me battle unbelief. Have you ever been in a situation where someone says, well, do you have faith? And you say, yeah, I have faith. You know, I have faith, but I'm not sure if my faith is strong enough. I battle with unbelief. Anywhere where there's faith, there will be battling with unbelief. The great thing is this, the fact that you believe means that unbelief will be there to try to steal your belief. I love what Spurgeon said. He said, "Help my unbelief is something a man can only say by faith. While men have no faith, they are unconscious of their unbelief. But as soon as you get a little faith, then you begin to be conscious of the greatness of your unbelief." If you're here today saying, "I believe, help my unbelief," to me it's a sign that you have faith. If you had no faith, you wouldn't even realize you're struggling with unbelief. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him, comes to God, must believe that he exists and that he rewards those that earnestly seek him." See, it's fairly simple. Hebrews 11, which is known as the Faith Hall of Fame, it says faith means two things. One, you have to believe that God exists, that he's there. That although you can't touch him or feel him or see him with your naked eye, that he's there. That's faith. Every parent has had a child ask him, "Well, how do I know, Dad, when I can't see God?" I remember my son Josiah asking me probably when he was 5 or 6 years old, Dad, don't you want to see God? Like, how do you know when you can't see him?" And we were by our living room window and it was kind of windy outside. And I looked at the trees who were kind of blowing and moving. And I said, "Son," I said, "can you see the wind?" He said, "Yes." I said, no. "You see the leaves moving, but can you see the wind?" He said, "Well, no, but I see the trees moving. I see the leaves blowing." "Ah, but you cannot see the wind, but you know it's there because you see the effects of the wind. You can't see it, but you see the trees blowing, the leaves moving. You see that it's that the effects of the wind that are there." I said, "God is the same way. We don't see him, son, physically, but we see the effects of God all around us. We see an earth that's been created, the heavens and the sky. We see order and design and beauty that is not created out of some cosmic explosion in the universe. We see people made with beauty. We experience love and compassion and mercy. We see the power of God in miraculous ways changing lives. Listen, we see the God evidence all around us. Oh, you can't see the wind, but you see the effects." Hebrews 11 says that you must believe that he is. But that's not enough. Even the demons believe that God is, it tells us in James. You believe that there is one God? James says you do well. Even the demons believe. So if you're here today and say, "Well, I'm okay because I believe in God," great. You're in good company. You're in the demons' company. So don't pat yourself on the back too much. Don't excuse yourself too much because you believe in God. You see, believing in God that he exists is only part of the equation. But Hebrews says you must believe that God is, that God exists, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That means I have to believe that he is, and I have to pursue him. That means that if I chase after God through his son Jesus Christ, the road that he's given, that I know that God offers in exchange forgiveness and cleansing and wholeness and peace with him, then I know that if I pursue God, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I know it. That's faith. Just believing in God is not faith enough. You have to have faith enough to pursue God and pursue God His way. And lastly, number four, the power of God is unleashed through our faith into a process of transformation and recovery. Verse 25, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, He rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," He said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Only the Son of God has authority and power like that. "I command you, come out and never come in again." Once in a while, I'll run into a believer and they say, "Pastor, I gave my life to Jesus a while back, but I don't know. I think I'm demon possessed." Let me tell you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you are not demon possessed. Okay, you're not. You're not. Let me tell you why. Because possession implies ownership and permanence. Now, you may be oppressed. There may be a squatter in your house. How many of you know you can own a house? And there's going to be a squatter that says, if no one's kicking me out, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to hang out. But they don't have papers that say, this is my house. They don't own it. They're there because no one's kicking them out. As soon as the authority comes in and says, you have no right to be in here, then they run and flee rapidly because they have no authority to be in that house. It's the same with a believer's life. If you have oppression in your life, it's not because there is any authority to stay there. You have to bring the authority, which is the power of the manifest Jesus, and say, this does not belong to you. I am a child of the living God. I've been bought with a price. I belong to Him. Out of my life. It tells us in this that Jesus commanded because He had authority. And by the way, He gives that authority to every believer. And then verse 26, it says, the spirit shrieked and convulsed him violently and came out. And the boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. And after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And he replied, this kind comes out only by prayer. Some versions say prayer and fasting. Here's what I want you to know. Listen, I believe that the power of God is unleashed through our faith into any process of transformation and recovery. There are some of you here today that you have allowed your lives to be stripped of things that belong to you by divine right. God has come to give you peace. God has come to give you forgiveness. God has come to give you clarity of mind and come to give you freedom in your walk. God has come to deposit joy into your life. He's come to give you destiny. He has come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Some of us have let the enemy rob us, tie us, bind us, mute us, tape us, steal everything from our house, everything from our family, everything from our soul, everything from our spirit. And we sit there bound, watching him carry away our most prized possessions, thinking that we have no power, complaining that life is so unfair and that you wish it was different. And I want to say, hold on a second. That belongs to you. If it's God-given, then you need to step up and not let it be taken. You need to fight for what God has given you. You need to fight for that destiny. Take authority in Jesus' name over those things that God has said, this belongs to you. Now you say, hey, I'm not letting it go back. I break the binds and ties in Jesus' name. I take authority in the power of God. I reclaim my destiny. I reclaim my life. I want my mind back and my emotions back. I want my finances back to where God wants them. I want to live under the authority of the kingdom of God because I will not let the devil rob me blind. Amen.
This has been the conclusion of our message called Believing Enough to Change, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Jesus Up Close. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of tonight's message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe.com. If you prefer to have a CD, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and feel free to ask for an entire series. Please do join us again tomorrow for our current series, Jesus Up Close. Well, that's it for us here at Straight Talk. We hope that you will join us again tomorrow. And on behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night. God bless.